project, which was funded by the American Legacy Foundation, and then invite my colleagues, George James and Adonis Venegas, to discuss the process and intervention of our program. They were the two individuals who were involved most intricately in the focus group process and the intervention process and can speak best to that. We would be remiss if we didn't recognize our principal investigator, Cynthia Livingston, who's in the audience, and our evaluator, Dr. Lisa Ulmer, who could not be here. And these are all our names again. How exciting is that? Okay. Just to give you a little background, when we began to look at our state and local data, what we began to realize is that the 18 to 24-year-old male population in Philadelphia was not adequately being served by the existing smoking cessation programs. They remained a hard-to-reach population who were not accessing, as I said, the free programs that were being held by the city. When we did realize that, we did a literature review, and we realized that by and large, this 18 to 24-year-old population not in college is pretty underserved in the literature also. Doesn't want to go. To give you a little bit of history about our experience with tobacco work and gender-specific tobacco work, we were... we were funded in 2001 by the Philadelphia Department of Public Health to provide smoking cessation programs for underserved women in Philadelphia. In 2005, given our success with that program, we were asked by our funders to expand our services to include gender-specific smoking cessation programs for men and gender-specific smoking cessation programs for pregnant women. This was the beginning of our gender-specific smoking cessation work. And as part of this program, we saw again the disparity that existed between the 18 to 24-year-old population accessing the programs. We responded to an RFP by American Legacy Foundation and were able to look specifically at this issue of 18 to 24-year-old males not in a college or university setting. The goal of our program was to gather information on smoking patterns, attitudes, and perceptions of this population, and the best methods for delivering education and cessation resources. If you look at this timeline, basically what you'll see is also kind of the outline of what our bigger intervention, I will call it, was. Essentially, we held two sets of focus groups with the target population to gather information that we would use to develop our first pilot intervention. We used the information from the pilot intervention to hold another two set of focus groups with the target population. That information then we made revisions to our intervention and held our final intervention. As Adonis and George talk about our program, please bear in mind that all of our data that is included in our presentation is all preliminary as we're still in the process of our program. Adonis?
For our community outreach, we did an extensive search. Our goal was to have a diverse group of young men from different neighborhoods in Philadelphia in order to get a good sample size for our target population. We began recruiting a full month before each focus group in order to maximize our effort to bring in as many participants as possible. We did this in several ways. We started off by first contacting all the social services organizations that our office had worked with in the past. We also contacted our city government officials, all the recreation centers in Philadelphia, as well as churches, and informed them that we were starting a new program focusing on 18 to 24-year-old men, and we would like them to participate in our focus group to ask them what their smoking habits were, as well as to have them provide us suggestions to what would be an effective method of getting them to quit smoking. We also distributed flyers throughout the city. In essence, we distributed more than 2,000 flyers throughout the city at these sites, at the social service sites, as well as in mental health facilities. We even went to bars and clubs. We went to rec centers. We went to job sites. We even went to food industry sites where we thought a lot of the 18 to 24-year-old men not in college would have jobs. We also placed our ads in Craigslist and in MySpace. We put our ads in the local newspaper, the Philadelphia Weekly, as well as the Metro, both which have a readership of over 100,000 readers daily. Sorry. And with all that outreach effort, we had difficulties. Basically, this population is hard to reach. They're not in one single place. They're not localized like in a college or university. So many of the recruits that we had were done through one-on-one contacts or through the outreach of the internet. In essence, we had a total of 62 participants respond, and out of those 62 participants, 30 of those were actual participants for the four focus groups.
So we started our focus groups, and our focus was to try to find the find out more about the attitudes of these young men, as well as to hopefully get some more understanding of what could help them in cessation. So our focus group discussions probed around two major questions: what were their likes and dislikes about smoking, as well as what would they need to stop smoking. The participants were able to recognize that they had more dislikes than likes about their smoking, which prompted them to evaluate why they smoked. And some of these conversations came up within the focus group. By the end of our hour and a half session, they started to wonder what could they start to do about their smoking, because after just talking about it for so long, they realized maybe they need to make a change. But even with that, participants were unable to come up with specifics that would help them quit. The young men repeatedly mentioned that stopping smoking wasn't a high on their list, that they could quit at any time. Some of them even said that they'll continue to smoke and that they'll stop after they get to around age 50 or so, that they could just stop at any time. Here are just even some direct quotes from the focus groups. One participant said, "It's not high on my priority list." And, another one said, "Something major would have to happen to me for me to stop smoking." One of the ones that we've thought that were pretty compelling to us is that one participant actually said, "I'll quit smoking when I'm happy." And that was really compelling to us, because that really started to allow us to realize that it's not just about the smoking, but it's really connected to their life and the different things that they were experiencing. So that also really led us to recognize that a standalone program would not work, that the participants felt that it would need to be convenient and connected to something that they were already doing. So they mentioned that taking care of their families and getting a job and making money were things that were important to them. So and one of the things that we did that I thought was pretty innovative for our project was that after each phase, we got together as a team and we discussed and analyzed the data and the information to then go on to the next round. And that's how we were able to come up with our concise program for the intervention. And what we were able to do is that we used the results and everything that the young men said, and that we recognized once again that they needed something more than just a standalone program. And what that led us to was to look for a job readiness facility that would be best to help them with the multiple things that they mentioned, from getting a job and earning money. So what we did is that we connected with a specific job readiness facility called the E3 Center, which is Education, Empowerment, and Employment. And we actually met with a few within the city of Philadelphia, and until we found one in particular that shared with our vision and what we were trying to do with these young men. And through those several meetings, we were able to actually then add some final adjustments to the intervention, because they knew the population best, because they were coming there day in and day out. And some of the things that they suggested was that moving forward to a reduction program rather than an actual quit program would be better with this population. So we did that adjustment, as well as having increased sessions within a shorter time period was something that they thought would be best. So we did all of those things within our first intervention, and what we were able to find out is that even though we had a small number of participants, we had 100% reduction rate. And just to give you a testimonial of one participant that actually did go through the program, his name was Ben, and after the intervention, he was still smoking around 4 cigarettes a day. And just out of convenience, about 6 weeks later, I ran into him on the train, and he started to tell me that he continued to use the techniques that we shared with him in the intervention, and that he moved from 4 cigarettes a day down to 1, that he was running, that he was helping his mom exercise, that he was doing all these things within his life. And so we realized that at least we were meeting someone out of that intervention, and that we were helping to move forward. So then we took that information, and we went to a second round of focus groups, and all that we did is that we just continued to add all that information and made some modifications. The major modification was that we realized that we needed to talk more about stress and stress management. So we started to do that within the focus groups, and then we just added that right into the intervention. So from the beginning, from session 1, we really started to talk about stress management techniques. And we also went back to the E3 Center that we were working with and had more meetings, because we wanted to fit in with their class cycle, so that our intervention was specifically timed with their rotation. So once again, we had 100% reduction rate from the individuals that participated. And just another testimonial about Juan, who was one of the members. He just talked about how he recognized through the intervention that changing his smoking habits would really help him to reach some of his life goals.
Our observations were that our attendance was 50% of the registered participants ended up being a part of our focus group and a part of our intervention. We also noticed that there was a strong link to other substances. Those that smoke cigarettes also smoke cigarettes with alcohol and or marijuana. We did have challenges with the overall program. Getting focus group participants to come was hard. We were offering $25 to each participant, but even that in itself was enough to get them to come out. We also had challenges with finding a site. Initially, we met with a few E3 Center directors, and while they were interested in it, they didn't feel comfortable that the students would have enough buy-in, that they weren't ready for the program to be in their sites. But and then saying that, we also had accomplishments. All of our participants had 100% reduction, and we maintained a 90% level of retention with all the participants who were in the intervention. For future directions, our second year goal is to continue to work with the E3 Center that we're at now, and we also would like to expand to other job readiness programs in Philadelphia. And we're currently looking for additional funding for our second year, like any other nonprofit, right? Thank you.